Good morning and welcome to a discussion of plant population and management effects on agronomic performance and milling and baking quality of soft red winter wheat in Indiana. Our objectives of this study was to increase our grain yield per acre by increasing our investment in yield production and yield protection. And our hypothesis was that we could increase this yield without compromising the protein content in our flour. This is soft winter wheat, and therefore we want to minimize the amount of protein in the flour. And we want to assess the economic implications of increased investment in our winter wheat to see what would be the most profitable over multiple site years in Indiana. Our hypotheses were that high grain prices will support a further investment in winter wheat, and therefore more producers will be looking to invest in elite seed, in further nitrogen fertility, and in plant protection chemistries in the form of foliar fungicides and insecticides. And we also think that we can increase yield as a function of nitrogen fertilizer in Indiana without compromising and our protein concentration. Our experimental design, we had two locations. One was in a farmer cooperative field in Evansville in southern Indiana, and the second was at the Agronomy Center for Research and Education outside West Lafayette, Indiana. At each location, we had four replications. They were a split plot design with treatment as the main plot, and line and seeding population were randomized within each plot. We used seven wheat lines, and these wheat lines are genetically diverse for the types of wheat which are commonly grown in Indiana. We had a range of maturities and a range of genetic resistances to common diseases such as Fusarium head blight, which is commonly called scab, barley yellow dwarf virus, Stagonospora nodorum, and Septoria tritici blotch diseases. We used two plant populations, 377, which is considered an industry standard for production in Indiana, and a high plant population, which was 485 seeds per meter squared. Our treatments were six management levels. For the purposes of this talk, we'll be focusing on treatments 1 and 6, considered our low and high treatments. The treatments consisted of the presence or absence of seed treatment, Cruiser, which is a systemic insecticide, two nitrogen levels. The high nitrogen treatments had an additional top dress, and they had totals of 59 and 77 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. We had the presence and absence of foliar fungicide applied at flowering according to label and insecticide as Warrior Bathroid. For our treatment applications, we applied our nitrogen using a tractor applicator. And in 2009, Dr. Ohm and I walked on our fungicide and insecticide. In 2010, we used the tractor to our application. We were interested in the milling and baking quality properties of the grain that we did produce, and therefore we sent cleaned samples to the USDA Soft Winter Wheat Lab in Worcester, Ohio. This project is not only interested in how much grain we can produce per acre, but how much flour we can produce per acre and how quickly we can make that flour into pastries, because that's what we're all here for. So we had some seasonal differences in 2009 and 2010. We're going to look at southern Indiana. This is modeled for our Evansville location. We're going to focus on that as a case study for this project just so we can get through all the data. As you'll see, in 2010, it was considerably more dry, and that did have an effect on our yields. We weren't able to combine our data across years due to non-uniformity of variances. This data is from the Southwest Purdue Agricultural Center, which is just north of our Evansville plot. So, results for Evansville. I'll draw your attention to the yield. We did show a significant increase in yield as a response to our high management treatment. This is important. So this is the goal of our project. We did not affect our test weight, maturity, or straw rating. Straw rating is a measure of strength as gauged by an individual. And we did affect height, which means that our high management treatments may be slightly more susceptible to lodging. However, we did not compromise their straw strength, so that may be a trade-off. For our milling and baking quality results, we're going to focus on just a few of the very many parameters that we have information on. Most importantly is whole grain protein, flour yield, and flour protein. We had no significant changes in these, and that is very important for producers looking to market their soft winter wheat. They're not going to have any docks at the elevator for having too much protein. So we want to recall that from the previous slide that we did significantly increase yield without compromising our protein, and that was the intention of this study. We're just looking at yield for Evansville in 2010. Across the x-axis, we have our line and seeding rate, low and high, yield in bushels per acre, and our z-axis is the treatments 1 through 6. And I'd like to point out that changes in magnitude for each treatment were observed across a lot of the lines, and we want to indicate that this line was not competitive, so we're going to look at that in our budgets. So in Evansville, these are our returns. Those bars which go below the x-axis are negative returns. That's an expense to the producer. We find that Branson has a generally positive economic return. This is important. It's a function of seed cost. Branson had a $14 per 50-pound bag seed cost. The Pioneer line was at 18, and all the others was at 22. So that seed cost is going to be what's affecting the difference between the low and high seeding rate under the same nitrogen regime. The orange and yellow bars are low nitrogen at the two seeding rates, and the blue bars are high nitrogen. In Evansville 2009, so we're going to look at a different year now, you find that there are generally more positive returns. This is going to be a function, we think, of added moisture from the weather data that year. It's important to note that at the lower nitrogen rates, the high seeding rate is often more profitable, and that's a function of having reduced your nitrogen costs, and so it makes the additional seed costs economically efficient. In West Lafayette in 2010, in general, we had a much more productive year, but we're still seeing this trend between the high and low seeding rates for the low nitrogen treatments. And we see that the high nitrogen treatments are all generally outproducing everything else. 0801 still was not competitive. West Lafayette in 2009 was a great year for winter wheat yields, and therefore every one of our systems was highly profitable. And this is affecting, this could affect long-term decisions for producers who want to institute one of these systems, and they would know that every few years they're going to have a great year. So our means of both locations and years, as you can see, are greatly skewed by the West Lafayette 2009 treatment. However, they were all profitable over all the averages, and you do see this trend towards at a low nitrogen rate, a high seeding rate is justified. So our conclusion was that increasing our investment, especially in the form of nitrogen fertilizer, was economically efficient in most of our situations, and increasing rate increased return in low nitrogen settings in particular. Increase in yield did not compromise our grain protein content, which was one of the main objectives of this study, and that year-to-year variability is always going to be the deciding factor on which system would be most profitable in each situation. If only the meteorologists could give us a little more data in advance, we would be able to design our systems a little better. So I'd like to say thank you, and thank you for everyone who helped in the field and our collaborators at the USDA Soft Wheat Quality Lab and our funding support from the Ross Fellowship. I'd be happy to entertain questions. Or not.